And so today we are looking in Luke chapter 22, verses 22 through 34. And I'll remind us that this is not the words of God are not somewhere in here. This is the word of God. This is the word of God, and it has expectations for us. It makes demands on us. It makes us uncomfortable sometimes, and it gives us so much comfort. And so, hear the word of the Lord as I read Luke chapter 12, starting verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't you hate it when people say that? I've said that before. And the thought comes, yeah, that's easy for you to say, isn't it? Yeah, you're the one. You're not going through what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. You're not inside my skin. How are you going to sit there and say, "Don't worry about it"? I am worried about it. I don't know how to stop. Yeah, it's a human condition, isn't it? And it's one of those things that we want to stop doing, but it's really hard. Because it just keeps coming back, doesn't it? Well, here's just kind of a caveat. This sermon is it's my ambition to bring out the fact that Jesus is using this as a reassurance. He's not using this as a club. He's not using this as a ruler. You know, if you're like the old school classrooms, somebody's writing. Good students are writing, and there's a bad student folding a paper airplane. Whack! You know, with a ruler. You know, God's not coming around with a ruler saying, "Oh, you're worrying." Whack! "Oh, you're worrying too." Whack! This is not to whack you. This is to comfort you. It's to comfort me. It's to reassure us. That's the kind of Lord that we have. One that takes a command and says, "I'm going to reassure you with that command." This is Jesus saying, "Don't look at your worries. Look at me. Don't look at your worries. Look at me." Look first at verse 22. This is where he removes worry. Worry removed. You've heard the old cliche, you know, when there's a therefore, I always ask, what's the therefore there for? Well, what is the therefore there for? It's there because he's referring back. It's always referring back to something. What's he referring back to? He's referring back to a rich man this rich farmer who had this massive crop and decided, I'm going to keep all of that for myself. I'm going to cash in on this thing. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to drink. I'm going to eat. I'm going to have a great time for a long time. Early retirement. Done. And what did God say to him in the parable? Your soul will be required of you. Okay? He lost his life because his attitude was self-congratulating. It was self-promoting. And his one focus was his stuff and how he could enjoy it. His attitude should have been to thank God first and to give generously to the needy. And then he comes and says, don't worry. Wait a minute, am I going to lose my soul tonight if I worry? No. That's not what Jesus is saying. What he's telling us is, he calls him fool in verse 20. He's a fool because he thought it was all about himself. It was all about me. And that's the point, isn't it? This do not worry, this is a negative, outright command. Do not worry. And, okay, let's just get it out of the way. If I worry, I'm sinning. That's just the way it is. Okay, so now what? I love this. What if what you eat, or what will you eat? What will you wear? Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. That rhythm of what will I eat? What will I wear? Kind of sounds like that refrain that broken record player in our head that goes off sometimes. What if? What if? What if? What if I? What if this disease doesn't get better? What if I lose my job? What if the right president doesn't get elected? What if we run out of money? What if? What if? Do you have the what ifs? I know I do. What is worry? When does it become worry? A worry is an attitude of the heart. Like that rich fool who didn't have faith in God. Or rather, he looked at all his possessions and he said, mine. It's mine. He wasn't even considering God. His sin began with him thinking that his life and his possessions were somehow all about him. And that this, he thought, oh, this huge crop that just sprouted out of the ground, that's all because of me. That was my doing, my hard work, my sweat. I'm going to enjoy it. Thank you very much. So he felt entitled to keep it all and to spend it all on his pleasures. That was his attitude of the heart, that it's all about me. And when we worry, it's the other side of the same coin, isn't it? Our sin of worry begins with us thinking that our life and our achievements are all about us. And it's just not so. Think about it. If it's true that our successes, that our times of ease and pleasure are all under God's providence, what makes us think that our times of failure and uncertainty and suffering are any different? It's the same. God's providence is over everything. It's not all about us. It's not all about us. We're failing to have faith in God because we're constantly saying, what if? It's hard. What if? If we meditate on our stresses and we hold on to them, then we're worrying. You know, that somehow I have to worry about this thing, or something bad's going to happen. You ever do that? You ever have that magical worry where if you stop worrying about it, something terrible is going to happen. So I'm being productive by worrying. It's just not real, is it? I do it too. I do it. Yeah. What about when life happens, or life really happens, and I start experiencing stress, or sadness, or grief, or trauma? These are not worry. These are not sin. Because all of those things that I just listed, sadness, grief, trauma, pain, those things are part of life. It's part of life in this fallen world. God does not condemn us for those things. He does not guilt us for that. Jesus went through those things. And he said, like I said before, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is his refrain again and again. It's his compassion that comes out. The stress, the pain, the sadness, the grief. He says, bring it all to me. I got broad shoulders. I can handle it. I will take it from you. Come to me. Those things are not sin. When does the sin come in? It's when we take those what ifs and we meditate on them and we hold on to them. We meditate on those negative feelings. We meditate on losing the good stuff we have now. We meditate on something bad that might happen. Well, we might be worrying if that happens, if we do that. Young people, whoever out there, anybody who likes Disney movies, the Inside Out, you ever seen that movie? Anybody? My family did. So in this movie, Inside Out, it's about the protagonist, you know, the main character. Her name's Riley, and she has this computer in her. They picture this computer control panel in her brain, and there are these five characters that are in her brain. Let's see if I can remember it. It's joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear. Okay, did I get that right? Okay. There are five characters that are personifying those five emotions, all right? And this character named Fear, he's part of the comic relief. He's always freaking out about something. We might be worrying if that character Fear is always pulling the levers, always turning the knobs, it's always in control or is controlling. When Fear is in control, it's a good chance we might be worrying. Bottom line, you know you're worrying when your thoughts don't include God. And because of that, it's a favorite weapon of our enemy, the devil, because it keeps us from thinking about God. It keeps our eyes on the problem rather than on Christ. And that's why I said at the very beginning, this is Jesus' plea to us and command. Don't look at your worries. Look at me. Look at me. So that's worry removed. What about a legitimate worry? Is there a legitimate worry? Worry legitimized. Verse 23. Verse 23 says, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. All right, food, clothing, pretty important stuff, right? It was very important in Jesus' day because who was over over Palestine at that time? The Romans. Did the Romans care a bit if the Israelites were hungry and naked? They could care less as long as the tribute of gold, silver, oil, and wine were coming in. They could care less about the welfare of the Jewish people. They didn't care. They were sucking the whole place dry. These were real concerns for these people. You have children? Children grow. You make an outfit for them, and next week, it's too short. The sleeves are like, all up here. How did that even happen? Kids grow. And there's nothing that makes me feel less like a man than when I can't provide for my family. Can you imagine them? How am I going to provide for my family? This is a legit thing for them. And so Jesus is not taking our needs lightly. Not at all. What's the difference between... If these are legitimate issues, why is Jesus saying this? Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Why is he saying that? What's the difference between a legitimate difficulty and a sinful worry? I believe it's here in our reaction. It's in our reaction. You'll see that in the next point. The worries of nature. Look at verse 24. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? I said the difference lies in our reaction. Well, what's the reaction of the birds and the flowers? Do they worry about it? No. No, they don't worry about food and clothing because they know that God takes care of them. And Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater here. Okay, we have these annoying blackbirds that love to just pick up anything shiny. They love to rob you of your corn if you grow crops. And he takes care of the wildflowers that grow randomly in the fields. How much more? If he cares about those things, those small things, will he take care of us? And by the way, what good has worrying ever done me? It's never done me any good except, you know, work on an ulcer. Work on a, you know, I don't feel good when I worry. No, Jesus says we can't even add a single hour to our life by worrying. So how do we fix it? I love to fix things. I want to fix it. Anybody remember the Bob Newhart show? Oh, yeah, it was a while ago. Not old, but a while ago. And in this Bob Newhart show, he has this, you know, he has this one scene where Bob is playing a psychologist. He's a counselor. And this is, you know, he has his office and set up and he has a client that comes in and sits down, and she starts talking and describing the way, I just have this fear of just being buried alive, that someday that I'll just be buried alive. And he says, oh, well, that's easy to fix. And she says, really? Yeah. Stop it! Stop worrying about that! Stop it! It doesn't work like that. I can't just stand up here and say, stop worrying. No, it just doesn't work that way. There are no shortcuts. There's no quick, easy 10 steps to stop worrying. There's no Bob Hart. There's no Bob Newhart to say, stop it. Well, you can say that, but it won't work. Because why? Because the only way that we can slow down our worry, the only way that we can stop our worry, is the slow, steady work of the Holy Spirit working in us and making us the disciples of Christ. There's no shortcut to this. No shortcut to this. It's like playing the violin. It's like learning. It's like learning a trade. Like learning construction. Like learning anything that's worthwhile. You have to put the time in. And the Holy Spirit does not rush. Because there's a lot of work to do in there. It's a slow process, sometimes maddeningly slow. And every step of the way, we confess our worry. We confess our, oh, I did it again. I did it again. And you know what Jesus says? I forgive you. Come to me again and again and again. This is what discipleship looks like. It's just coming to Jesus again and again. And again, how does he stop our worry? He gives us grace again and again. Well, you want some practical things that we can do to stave off worry? Well, here's one. Be thankful. When we thank God for what we have, we're saying, hey, I'm content with what you've given me. That's a hard one, too, being content. When we're thankful for what we have, we recognize that the blessing did not come from our hands, but they're not ours to keep. But we're thankful for what we have. What else can we do for worry? We can pray for what we need. I told you I struggle with prayer. Maybe you do too. God's not there with the ruler saying, "You're a bad prayer. Whack." He doesn't do that. He just invites us. Jesus tells us, He commands us to pray. And He says, "I will listen to you. I will hear you. Every prayer." What else can we do about worry? Remembering what He's done for us in the past. Remembering what He's done for other saints. Looking through the Bible, looking at the stories of Scripture, and remembering those stories. Looking at the stories of other saints that have gone before us. Remember. Why did Jesus go to Jerusalem for all those feasts? That expensive, long, tiresome journey all the way to Jerusalem for all those feasts. Why? To remember. To remember what God did. God commanded all the Jews to do that. Every year, to remember. What has He done for you? Remember that. What else can you do about worry? Let's go to the very basics. You, come to Jesus. Me, come to Jesus. Every day. Now, I'm not talking about being justified from your sins every day. Justification, as in the payment for your sin, and that you being taken from death to life, that happens once and once only. And you're forever belonging to God. What I'm talking about is realizing that every day, I have to realize every day that I wander. I wander. And I have to come back to Him. Lord, today I am your son. I'm your daughter. I'm your servant. You're my master. I am your sheep. You are my shepherd. Every single day saying this to our Lord. Yes, I am still a great sinner and I still need a great Savior. You are my Savior, Lord Jesus. This is what it means to know Christ, to love Him. Finally, worry relieved. The shepherd reassures the flock. Look at verse 32. This is so beautiful. Fear not, little flock. Isn't that the most tender thing in the passage? Some people should say you shouldn't have a favorite thing in the Bible or a favorite thing in the passage. I have a favorite thing here. It says, "Fear not, little flock." He's talking to us. What a tender, tender, compassionate word. He's not whacking us with a ruler or a baseball bat or anything else. He's saying, "I love you tenderly. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So seek the kingdom. This is for you." Seeking God's kingdom means obeying His commands. It means becoming more like Christ. You can pray to become more like Christ. And He will do it. This is tender reassurance from our shepherd. And if you remember nothing else from this sermon, remember this, that Jesus has compassion and forgiveness for you personally today. The guilt, the stuff from your past, it's done. When He said it is finished, He meant it. He will make sure you have what we really, you will make sure we have what we really need. Today we talked about worry. Jesus commands us not to worry. Easier said than done. I got it. But when we worry, we're not trusting God. But here's the good news. God gives us grace to help us trust in Him daily. All we need to do is ask Him to help us to trust. May we not meditate on our fears? Will we meditate on His promises, His love, and the ways that He has provided in the past? Will we? Let's pray.